You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now, tell me about your father.
City Counselling on 95BFM, our weekly chat with the good people of Auckland Council.
This week on City Counselling, Oscar Perez talks to Councillor Richard Hills, the councillor for the North Shore Ward and the chair of the Environment and Climate Change Committees. Together, they talked about the restructure of council and his roles in response to COVID-19, waste management and shovel-ready infrastructure.
This week on City Counselling, we are joined by Richard Hills, the councillor for the North Shore Ward and the chair of the Auckland Council Environment and Climate Change Committee, among many other hats. I started by asking how he saw his role as the chair of the Environment and Climate Change Committee.
This is my second term on council, and I was really passionate about being a chair and having some more responsibility, and especially in the area of climate change. So this is a new committee, as you probably discussed with Piffa last week, that the mayor set up and allowed me to chair. So it's one of the four major committees of the whole, which means all councillors and two independent Māori statutory board members are on my committee. And basically for me, it's about driving change around climate change, the environment, water quality, pest-free work, biodiversity, Cody dieback. But also the main part has been up until the COVID situation was around transforming our council and our city to be a low-carbon city, to be thinking about climate change on every decision we make and pushing it from my committee.
Since COVID-19, the structure of Auckland Council and its operations has drastically changed. All portfolios and select committees have been temporarily suspended or deprioritised. The former formal structure has been replaced by a temporary emergency committee that meets weekly and meets remotely. This emergency committee will manage all council decision-making to ensure essential and urgent decisions can still be made through this period. For more information and your viewing pleasure, these meetings can be viewed on the Auckland Council website. Councillor Richard Hills informs us of how the structural change has altered his positions.
It's a bit of a strange situation. At the moment, my own responsibilities as a councillor has mostly just been feeding people information, trying to connect people up with government agencies, dealing with pretty tough and terrible situations that people are going through and trying to help them through that. And then also dealing with the wider questions around parks, around what can we do, some sillier questions like, can I take my boat out and can I do this, that and the other? Can I meet my girlfriend on the weekend sometimes? So trying to get that information as a community leader or another politician through to people. So that's been kind of the background of everything. Everything else is we're trying to continue on with, but it does seem a bit strange and difficult to try and continue anything business as usual. All the decisions of my committee and all committees are on hold unless they're urgent that have to be made, and they will all go to the emergency committee, which I've only had two meetings so far in the last 2 weeks, and that has mostly just been focused around the ongoing situation. So we haven't been able to have a clear look at what other decisions need to be made. Piffa and I have had a few meetings with our sustainability office and trying to get a hold of where to from here on our climate plan that was supposed to be coming for final approval in May. That looks like it will probably be stretched out. And also we want to add in things on changing situation. Clearly, it was a great thing almost a month ago that all councillors supported a 2030 target of halving our emissions and supported the direction of our climate plan. But then everything has quite significantly changed. So we just have to make sure that the timing is right to be talking about these things when people are stressed about their income and their homes and whatever's happening, that we're not just throwing more complicated stuff at people. But it's also about making sure we reform our economy when we come through this in a low carbon, positive for the environment, good for jobs, good for health, and also recognizing the changes that are happening, such as working from home. You know, from a council point of view, we have 6,000 people signing on every day from home at the moment, continuing to work like yourself and many other businesses and organisations are doing. So we just need to make sure we don't revert completely back to where we were if we can allow people choice around working situations and not demanding everyone to drive around or take public transport everywhere 9 to 5, 5 days a week.
With the nation and city's eyes looking to the future, there is a lot of talk about shovel-ready infrastructure. It is a conversation that has echoed through both the Zoom calls of central and local government alike. On April the 1st, the Chief of Auckland Council's Sustainability Office, Alec Tang, released an edited version of a Phil Twyford quote on getting infrastructure projects off the ground. Tang noted the exclusion of environment-positive language and the ambition that comes with it. Councillor Hills also recently released a list of shovel-ready infrastructure projects that he would like to see come to fruition in the not-so-distant future.
Yeah, I guess the list of projects I put down was a little bit cheeky, just some off the top of my head, some of the priorities I think we should be doing, which is things like the Northwest Busway, more cycle and walking infrastructure around our schools, the Northern Pathway, rail projects, light rail project, onshore recycling. So those are the types of things I'll be putting forward, but it's a difficult one because this is very quick and very fast what the government is asking us to do. And I still don't have a clear idea of what shovel-ready exactly means, whether it is consented. A lot of those projects aren't consented, but I would assume, or I'd hope, that we could have a fast-paced consenting for some big projects if it's about investing in jobs. So my point is not to, you know, favour projects over other that might hurt jobs. I just want us, if we've got a finite amount of money and we want to encourage new jobs and we want to encourage investment, but we also want to do it in a climate-friendly way, that we should be focusing on reforming our economy now. I mean, right now, who would have thought a month ago that we would have no planes in the sky and basically no cars on our motorway? Obviously, it's a terrible situation what has happened, but if people are wanting or getting used to different ways of living and working and experiencing even their local community, we need to make sure we're not just doing a whole lot of shovel-ready highways to fill up again. Also, greenfield infrastructure, so building more urban sprawl and housing, probably won't be making sense. I can't imagine we're going to have much immigration, if any, in the next year or two. The growth is going to be completely different. So if the government wants us to invest now and quickly, it should be back in the current communities we have and around, you know, giving people those choices that a lot of people have been asking for, but we're always talking about 10 years away, 10 years away. But if we can transform some of those things right now while people are looking into new jobs and new ways of living in the next 6 to 12 months, then we should be, I think, aiming for more low-carbon infrastructure projects.
An ongoing conversation before the outbreak of COVID-19 was that around onshore recycling facilities. COVID-19 has closed off Aotearoa's access to many, if not all, international recycling centres and brought this waste management conversation to the fore. As aforementioned, Councillor Richard Hills has included development of onshore facilities in his list for shovel-ready projects. We continued our conversation by discussing our short-term and long-term futures in waste management.
We thought we probably had a little bit more time to be doing this sort of work. The last 2 years, so Penny Hulse previously, who was the chair of the Environment Committee, had been working with the government on this. The last 2 years, our recycling costs have increased about between $7 and $10 million a year, which means customers, local residents have been paying a lot more each year for their recycling because of those markets closing down. My personal view is that we shouldn't be sending our waste overseas anyway, and we should be doing onshore recycling anyway, but it's a bit complicated. What's happened this week is that certain markets have closed their borders to only essential imports, which is fair enough, which has meant that our fibre, which is paper and cardboard and cartons and things, can no longer be recycled, and we don't have that facility here. So we're telling people to still keep putting it in the recycling like normal, but we'll be sorting it and unfortunately landfilling it. We have been I've met with Associate Minister Eugenie Sage a couple of months ago, and they were looking at ways to get a business case done for onshore recycling infrastructure, and we were hearing good noises, but where that sits, I don't know. So when the timing is right, I would like that work to be sped up again. It's not a simple thing, so you can process it all here, and that would cost a lot to build a plant or a factory or whatever to do that, but you also need a partner or a business or a supply chain of people who would take and use that cardboard for, or paper or boxes or packaging or whatever you make out of the recycling for a purpose. So you can't just recycle it and then stockpile tons and tons of paper hoping someone might buy it. So you've got to have both sides of the equation. which has been the difficult thing to do. But I assume during this process there'll be a lot more business looking how they can do packaging onshore and things anyway. So it may be another maybe opportunity sometime in the future to be looking at.
A lot of big things are going on right now. So to conclude our conversation, I asked Councillor Hills what words he'd like to impart on his ward and our listeners in regards to what is going on at the moment.
You know, right now it's less about planning for the future and just keeping ourselves healthy and safe. So it's pretty tough out there talking to people. Everyone's scared of the virus itself and what that means for their family. People are, you know, missing out on grandchildren being born, missing out on tangi and funeral for family members. It's, you know, the main message is obviously what the Prime Minister is saying, be kind and stay home. You know, it's really important that, first of all, that we don't spread this virus further, but also that we don't end up extending the time because the economic risk is just so massive. So, you know, I've been putting a lot of stuff around mental health up on my social media, obviously free call or text 1737 anytime. You know, there's going to be a lot of people who are anxious and depressed and potentially have suicidal thoughts and things when money is running out and the situation seems pretty overwhelming or people are isolated. So for me, the main message right now, aside from all the normal council stuff, is just to look after yourselves and to talk to friends, family, reach out somehow. Because I think that, to me, after the virus, the immediate risk is people's mental health, because this has been a nothing we've ever experienced before, and it's pretty intense. And we still have at least 3 weeks, or still about 3 weeks of this lockdown. And then after that, it's trying to piece together the economy. So I guess some people are probably doing okay, doing fine. Others, it's going to be pretty tough. So it's just seeking out those numbers, mental health, domestic violence, and yeah, speaking to each other, I guess, in this, because there's no rule book for what's going on. I think everyone, our essential workers, are doing an amazing job. The government is doing as best as they can, but individually it's going to be the hardest, I think.
Try mindfulness.
City Counselling on 95BFM.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.